The Weedsman Podcast. ChristopherMedia.net. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise. From Asthma Core Studios near Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, man.
It's the Weedsman Podcast.
I have no idea what's going on.
And now?
You have smoked yourself retarded.
Here are the Weedsmen.
You want to get high?
Oh, we did it. We're back. I'm Chris.
I'm Aaron.
It's almost summer.
It's almost summer. It's true. Are we going to get cicadas? Do we get cicadas in Michigan?
I've heard they're in the Midwest.
Seems like I remember cicadas, but have you ever seen the shells on the tree? You know, they molt.
No.
And sometimes you'll just find, but I mean, this is so long ago, if it's every 17 years, what's that times two, 34?
Yes.
So that means that I was 11 years old. Yeah. So I was 11 years old during the cicada bloom of my childhood.
Yeah, I was 8.
Right. And I want to say I remember seeing cicadas, but then I went on a fair amount of trips around that age too. Like I went to Colorado because I had an uncle out there. I went to Yellowstone. We were big campers. So I could have seen those cicadas like anywhere. I don't remember if I saw them like in suburban Michigan, but I definitely haven't heard any of them.
Yeah, me neither.
I was looking forward to seeing some cicadas. Everyone's excited about it. Would you eat a cicada on pizza?
No. Yeah. I'd not eat any insect ever.
Not even with extra cheese?
No. No insect.
This one doesn't. You know, the problem with this one is, and I'm going to send you a picture of this so you can see. This is an example of a cicada pizza. And it doesn't even if it didn't, if you didn't know it had cicadas on it, it still looks like a gross pizza. Like, what is on that pizza? The spicy Thai cicada pie from the Pizza Bandit in Dayton, Ohio.
Gross. I mean, to me, that looks like it's a bunch of yellow peppers, but what is that, chunks of cicada?
No, the black things are cicadas.
Oh, see, I think those are olives.
Yeah, oh, there's a close-up picture down there. You can see, oh, they're really small. Either they're smaller than I thought, or this is a really large pizza. Here's my thing with eating bugs. I'm not completely opposed to it.
Oh, I am.
Well, we've all eaten, you know, a certain percentage of bug parts.
Yeah, but unknowingly.
And, right. Yes. Well, that's what I'm getting to, though. How come every time I see insects prepared, it's a whole fucking insect, and we have to eat the whole thing?
I don't want to eat something with eyes. That's part of it.
Well, yeah, I don't want to eat it while the eyes are intact. Like, just crush it up. You want to make like a bug patty, make it like into a hamburger out of bug meat.
Like a meal?
Yeah.
Like a cicada type meal and put it in a patty.
I think that would be more reasonable. But this, having to ingest the whole bug, I mean, this is just some fear factor shit.
Yeah.
Although, who knows? We may live long enough to have to resort to eating bugs.
Why, we live to Mad Max times?
I don't know. Who knows? I mean, they're a source of protein. They're nourishment. We run out of other options. I mean, bugs are resilient. And the more resilient ones tend to be the grosser looking ones too, right? So it's not like you're going to be snatching butterflies out of the air and be like, these things aren't bad. Like, you're going to have fucking fist-sized cockroaches that you got to hunt down.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We could rotate them over a fire on a spit.
Yeah.
We hang out with Charlize Theron.
Is she a bug eater?
Oh, it's Mad Max.
Oh, Mad Max thing. Right, yes. Do they eat bugs in Mad Max?
I don't know. Probably.
They probably do.
I bet Mel McGibson's Mad Max they did.
This has got to be the best headline of the week. NBC's ultimate slip and slide halts production following explosive diarrhea outbreak.
Have you heard this?
Have I heard it?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like, I'm aware of the story, but is there an audio clip or something?
Oh, no, no, no. I'm just saying, have you heard about this?
Oh, I've heard
before today, have you heard it?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't.
It's a fun story. Read it.
Well, I don't understand what the show is. Ultimate Slip and Slide. Like, what are they just going to be? Is it competitive?
It sounds like it's another fucking thing we stole from Japan, if you want my honest opinion.
It probably is, yeah.
Oh, cicadas are here.
No, that's one big cockroach on his fucking dirt bike. I'm going to string a rope across the street. Fucking decapitate that kid one day.
So, explosive diarrhea. Well,
apparently.
I love how the adjective is explosive. Like, isn't all diarrhea explosive?
Reps for the show did not immediately return Fox News' request, but let's see. Well, here's a statement. The health and safety of everyone on our set is our number one priority. So out of an abundance of caution, we have made the decision to stop production of Ultimate Slip and Slide at the current location. We're in the process of determining next steps in order to... where's the statement on that you're quoting from? Because they put in quotes, explosive diarrhea. So that, like, God damn it, Fox News. You left out the quote, the main quote that explains what this is. Tested positive for Giardia. Giardia. Isn't that a DC villain? A parasite that causes diarrheal disease if swallowed. The outbreak caused 40 members of the crew to become violently ill with awful explosive diarrhea. Claims it left people collapsing on set rushing to find Russ.
Oh my God.
Who's collapsing?
I mean, this had to be like food related, right? Like the caterer served some bad shit for like for a whole crew to get it.
No, I think it was in the water. It was probably just a microbe in the water.
And that too.
According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Giardia spreads easily and can spread from person to person through contaminated water, food, surfaces, or objects. Most common way people get sick is by swallowing contaminated drinking water or recreational water.
There you go.
What, liquor? Isn't that recreational water?
No, recreational water, like maybe something on and slide TV show.
Yes, I know.
God damn.
Look.
People doubling over.
Somebody like maybe relieved themselves in this water. Or maybe they're just not too hygienic.
You'd think it would be chlorinated water.
Maybe... Some dude was
NBC
like,
can't afford chlorinated water?
I ain't got to wipe my ass. I'm going to be up and down the slip and slide all day.
Right.
The upcoming series will be hosted by Saturday Night Live alum and comedian Bobby Moynihan and actor-writer Ron Funches. NBC describes it as a fresh take on Wham-O's iconic 1960s outdoor game. How is it a game? It's not a game.
It's a game.
That's the problem with it. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a fucking game. But you fucking slid across your lawn.
I've never stood up at the end of a slip and slide and went, I won!
Yeah.
That's what makes it a slip and slide. Everybody wins. Unless somebody doesn't wipe their ass good enough and then everybody loses. And ends up doubled over in pain.
Oh my God, that just had to be... You know what I feel bad for? The fucking custodians. That day.
Yeah.
I bet it was somebody's last day that day. I bet somebody went, nope, you don't pay me enough for this. I'm fucking out of here.
He looked at all the lineup of porta potties and just fucking doused them in gasoline, lit a match, and walked away from it while it blew up.
Yeah. What are you doing? I'm cleaning this up. It's the only way. The only way we. Need, the only acceptable way. We're just burning these motherfuckers down.
I still can't imagine what this show could be, though. How do you make competition out of going down a slide?
Who knows? Maybe, oh, maybe it's based on distance. Maybe you got to like slide further than another person.
Hmm.
Maybe you got to do like crazy poses.
You have to prepare a souffle while going down a slip and slide.
Maybe the object was to get to the end of the slip and slide before the explosive diarrhea. Maybe it's part of the game and we don't even know. At the end of the slip and slide is a porta potty.
They just shoot you right into it. I feel like if I could see a picture of what their setup looks like, it would answer some questions.
You don't see a picture of that right now. Wait a few days, they get clean. Now it looks like a chocolate river.
Yeah, I don't think anybody knows what it looks like because it seems like there's just stock images of water parks that people are using for the story.
Just NBC went, never mind.
I think the show's still happening. Look, they just got all this free press.
Yeah, it's all part of the plan. What we're going to do is we're going to give everybody a parasite. So there is explosive diarrhea. Also, too, I feel with the slip and slide being involved, I feel like the comedy writes itself.
The comedic imagery is certainly there.
But again, those poor custodians.
Yeah, I found a slip and slide in my garage.
Be careful.
Might be contaminated. You're right. I hear those things give you diarrhea.
Right.
Because I read 12 stories today about how NBC had to shut down their production.
Yeah. Sounds like a sound scientific theory.
Yeah. And as soon as they get back, they're going to get shut down again. Protesters are on behalf of the microbes.
Right.
Like, microbes deserve to have fun, too.
You know what sucks? Is, like, we make these jokes now, but in, like, 20 years. I mean, I feel like things we used to joke about back in, like, high school and college.
They're predictions.
Yeah. I feel like things we used to joke about back in, like, high school and college have come to fruition.
Yeah.
Like, the movie PCU is turning into a documentary.
Which, that movie still holds up.
It does.
That's a solid comedy. With a decent message. That's problematic today, I'm sure.
No, for sure. Fat John Favreau, before anyone knew who he was.
Somebody was bravely calling out Judd Apatow today.
For what?
It was an actress who, I guess she'd worked with him before. I couldn't tell you what. I want to find the quote because I don't want to mess this up. Emily Ratajkowski? Maybe the Jay Silent?
Mm-hmm.
Calls out Judd Apatow's This Is 40 for treatment of Megan Fox's character.
I don't even remember her being in that movie.
You don't?
No.
She was the one who came out of the dressing room with just her bra and was like, oh yeah, feel my boobs. This is what 20-year-old boobs feel like. Aren't they great? Her whole character was there to be... to make a... You know, to have the natural jokes arise from, like, you know, this is 40 and here's what 20 is and here's how I'm falling apart, right?
The thing I remember about that movie is thinking, like, oh my God, is it over yet? That's what I remember about that movie. That movie could have been an hour shorter.
I thought the movie was good. It was a little long, yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like, we'll call her Emily. She says, this is her quote. So that movie is hilarious and very spot on. I recommend everybody who has a husband or wife and kids to watch it. But Megan Fox is treated so badly in it.
It's a movie.
Right. This is like watching Three Stooges and feeling sorry
for Curly. Shep. Yeah.
Or any of them. Yes, feeling sorry for Curly. Like, I thought that the slapstick was really fun, but why do they always have to beat up on the bald one?
It's a Megan Fox got paid very well. They didn't really treat her like that in real life.
So this was in an interview that she was doing with Amy Schumer. And
oh, boy.
Let's see. I want to find the rest of the quote here.
Man, I cannot think of it. Amy Schumer's on a short list of people for me, of comedians who fell out of favor with me really fucking quickly. Like, I enjoyed Amy Schumer from 2012 to 2015, 2016. Yeah. After that, her comedy and just her in general, like, I'm good.
Her shtick's fit. Well,
she's one of those comedians that's starting to apologize for her jokes in the past. They're fucking jokes.
She hasn't been as successful. Sarah Silverman, somebody who's been able to very deftly kind of make a transition from a one-note stand-up to an actual more well-rounded comedian. She used to just do jokes about, like, I'm stupid and I don't know, I guess, like, racism, whatever. And now she's kind of broken out of that image a bit. And that was Amy Schumer's character. She was like, I'm the drunk one. I'm the party chick. I may be a little overweight, but I don't care. And now she's trying to do something else, which of course she is. But, you know, you're going to need to bring some talent to the table if you want to be more than a one-note comedian. And so far, I haven't seen evidence of it.
Well, I mean, she's also on another list of like, hey, remember when you were a comedian?
Right. Remember when you were funny?
Yeah. Like, and yeah, and she's trying to go like it. Well, but anyway, so Judd Apatow sucks because he wrote a story.
Well, I'm trying to figure out who said what in this interview, but this Us Weekly article is so poorly written. Let's see if you can follow this. So here, one paragraph unto itself is a quote. That movie is not aging well, Ratajkowski replied. Okay. Next paragraph, Schumer, who worked with Apatow, 53, in her 2015 film Trainwreck, didn't mind calling out the producer involved with the project.
For
then,
what?
Then another paragraph, quote, it's Judd Apatow, the New York native, added. So which one's the New York native? Am I just supposed to know who which one of these, or maybe they both live in New York? I don't fucking know. The New York native added, I don't care. I'm ready to burn that bridge to the ground tonight. So you had a really nice experience. Both of you apparently had really nice experiences with Judd Apatow and his work. Worked with him. Enjoy his movies. Recommend them to your whole family. Everybody should be watching this.
Trainwreck turned her into
but
a
I'm
star.
But I'm going to burn this bridge to the ground over, I didn't like how you wrote a character. And it's not like, if this was a movie about This Was 40 and it was all like 40-year-old white dudes trying to, and the only chicks in it were like Megan Fox and women like her that were just used as objects, I'd say, yeah, you have a point. That movie's kind of problematic. But that's not what this movie is. This movie is about a couple, right? One of them's a woman. The experience is a 40-year-old woman. And yes, Megan Fox's character is there just to show just to mirror that experience of, you know, what it was like for a 20-year-old versus what it's like for a 40-year-old woman. Somebody's got to play that part or else you don't have that element in your story. And if you want Megan Fox's character to be more well-rounded and not just an object, then you've missed the point of what her character is there for entirely, right? Now you've got a more well-rounded character, so then you have to get somebody else in there. All right, well, hire another bimbo to have her squeeze her tits.
Just every day I hear two or three things that just make me go, yeah, okay, whatever. Sure. Whatever you say. Like I don't understand, like, how everyone is now this moral arbiter of everything. Who the fuck made you, like, all these people, like, if we turn this on you, is everything you do perfect?
And as far as Megan Fox, you know, she's been talking a lot about lately, you know, she was treated so poorly in her early career because people only wanted her for her body.
She's treated so poorly with those multi-million-dollar fucking salaries.
Right. You managed to make millions of dollars to be in movies
just by being
zero
hot.
Talent.
Yeah.
Absolute zero fucking acting ability. You had it so bad.
You look good in a tank top and got paid well for it. What the fuck's your problem? You shouldn't have took the money then. You knew why they were... You weren't hired for your acting chops. Let's be honest.
No.
You were the it girl for like the last half of the fucking 2000s. Be okay with that. You took all the money. Give it back. You have such a problem with it, give it back.
Yeah. And you know, if it, I might listen to this nonsense if it was like, oh, I've made this really great movie, right? I put my heart and soul into it, and nobody wants to see it, and all they want to talk about is Jennifer's body, right? But that's not the case. You have nothing else to show for it. You know, if you were talented and driven, we would have something else from you. You've made millions of dollars off of movies. You have enough to produce an independent film completely on your own. If you have a vision, let's see it. If not, then shut the fuck up. You're basically a talking model. That was your job.
Yeah. And you had no problem with taking the money. Amy Schumer had no problem with taking Judd Apatow's money. She had no problem with Judd Apatow's movie making her a star.
And to this day, I mean, look, I'm not making judgments on her. Like, however she wants to present her body, use her sexuality, whatever you want to call it, I'm fine with. I'm not saying like, oh, she's a stupid slut. And I'm just saying, like, to this day, you see pictures out with her, she's got some rapper boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
She's got her fucking tits out. Her ass is out. Everything is skin fucking tight.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, uh-huh.
She's back in the limelight because she's dating a fucking, one of the it rappers right now.
Yeah. And we need to take you more seriously. And you traffic in more than just your body, obviously.
Yeah. You know what? Then start wearing turtlenecks. Start dressing like Angela from The Office. Yeah.
The Weedsman Podcast. ChristopherMedia.net. ChristopherMedia.net. The Weedsman Podcast.
Did you see they cast the Joe Exotic series?
I heard.
The Tiger King.
I heard that they're... This is in the works. Now, is Joe going to get paid from this? Is he going to get Hollywood money in jail?
I imagine so. I mean, I don't know.
Who's playing Joe Exotic?
It is
Randy Quaid.
No, there is a Dennis Quaid is going to be playing Rick Kirkham, who is the black hat dude.
Mm-hmm.
The guy with the looked like he was in a fire or something. I don't know what was wrong with that dude's face. John Cameron Mitchell is going to be playing Joe Exotic.
I don't know who that is.
Which I think is inspired casting. John Cameron Mitchell is great. Have you ever seen Hedwig and the Angry Inch?
No.
It's really good.
Just Google him.
You'll know his face. You'll be like, oh, yeah, that dude.
John Cameron Mitchell?
Yes.
He looks like poor man's Crispin Glover.
Maybe a little. Oh, he played Andy Warhol in the short-lived Vinyl series, which I see that a lot of people will be like, ooh. What happened to the Vinyl? That was a good... I'm like, really? Did you try what? If you know anything about music, that show would drive you nuts. Did you ever try and watch it?
No.
It was a Scorsese-produced HBO show that was supposed to be out about the music business in the 70s. And it was going to cover everything, like punk and disco and rock. And it's a great... era of mute for music, and it's something that would be a great idea for a show, but this show is just weird because they're making it all up, right? They don't have rights to they couldn't do all the different, so they're just making up music. And I'm like, how can you reminisce about how good the 70s used to be and it's about music and you can't get rights to any of the songs that we know from the 70s?
This is bad production.
Yeah.
Well, because I got canceled then after only one season.
Yeah, it was unwatchable.
People were pissed when it got canceled.
Yeah, I don't know why. People were really into that show. I mean, then again, I think there's some people that no matter what Scorsese puts his name to, they're like, it's genius.
Well, yeah.
Like, they would buy Scorsese's bottled farts. They would fly off the shelf.
This is Martin Scorsese's bottled water.
Oh, but probably the best piece of casting is Kate McKinnon for that bitch, Carol Baskin.
What, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Which tells me that they are going to give this story the respect it deserves, by which I mean zero respect. And I hope that's what it is. Because nobody, like, this is entertaining only in its insanity. I managed to get through most of the Netflix docu-series. I just couldn't watch that last episode. Because by that time, I thought that everybody involved in this was a completely disgusting human being, including the editors and producers of the documentary. Because it was criminal how they made that into, what was it, like 8 or 10 fucking episodes? And I'm like, I've heard of pulling the taffy, man, but this is beyond the pale.
Oh, for Mandy and I, it was simply more of like, it was like a bad car crash.
Yeah.
We were just, what the fuck are we watching? We got to keep watching this.
Yeah. It was addictive in that way. And I'll hand it off to them. Like, I'll hand it to them, I should say, that they, you know, they managed to pace it really effectively. Look, I hated the show. That's why I only watched 7 out of 8. Right? It was obviously effective. But by that time, like, everyone was talking about it. And I already knew how everything ended up anyway. I'm like, oh, well, what? Her husband's still dead. Joe Exotic's in jail. This guy's dead. This guy's missing. Like, we already know all this. I don't need to see this play out because I feel like this show is rotting my soul. But in a nice comedy, you know, where we get to make fun of all these horrible people and we can probably do it in under 2 hours, fucking bring it. Oh, is this a series?
Yeah, I thought you said it was a series.
Yeah. They should do it as a movie. They really should do this as a movie. Unless they're going to make a bunch of shit up.
Right? Or they're probably going to serialize all the shit in the documentary.
Yeah. If that's all this is, then I don't know, man.
You want to have the continuing adventures of the Tiger King?
No, I want to see the story that...
sitcom?
I want to see the story that we saw in the documentary in a hour and 40 minute Coen Brothers style caper. That's how it should be presented. But yeah, to answer your previous question,
though,
I'm sure. Oh, Peacock.
Oh, then yeah, it's definitely going to be a series.
Yeah, no, it is. But yeah, I'm sure Joe Exotic is making money off of it.
His commissary will be full,
which is probably the best reason not to watch it.
Hey, doesn't matter. Checks have been cut.
Apparently, well, yeah, but I'm sure there's, you know, maybe he's got points on it.
Or so, well, no, really, if you don't watch it, you just don't. You make season 2 not happen.
Right.
But have you met people in our country lately? This show's gonna be watched. It's gonna be watched by a lot of people.
Well, I don't know. You know, we have a lot of options, and if it's not a great show, then you know everyone's gonna tune in to see what it is. But if it's not a great show, I don't think people are gonna stick with it. We're not desperate for entertainment.
It's true. There's so much out there now. Yeah, you got to be good.
But Joe Exotic himself, the real one, who is in jail, and probably deservedly so, he is going to be producing his own cannabis line, apparently.
From jail?
From jail.
Huh.
According to TMZ, the Tiger King star cooked up the idea last July, and the wheels have been in motion ever since.
Yeah, but from what I heard, though, those are the celebrity cannabis is kind of like celebrity booze.
Yeah. Nobody's growing or really picking anything. They're just like, give me your best vodka, or I don't even care if it's your best vodka because nobody really knows vodka. Just put some vodka in a bottle and slap a label on, and I'll tell people it came from my distillery.
Well, it's more the companies will approach these people.
Yeah.
And go, hey, come here. And it's
the companies that approached him were Tangle Hotel Charlie Group and Cannabis Limited that approached him to launch Joe Exotic Cannabis.
Yeah. So basically that Joe will get a little piece, you know, of the, yeah. He said, man, this guy's commissary is going to be fucking booming. The TV show and the weed. This guy's going to have ramen for fucking for every meal.
Well, I hope he gets sued out of all of it because he's kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah, that's why he's in jail.
Well, yeah, I mean, really, this guy is so self-destructive. Like, it doesn't matter how many millions of dollars you give him. He's still going to, even if he gets his ass out of jail, he'll probably end up back in jail. And even if he manages to stay out of jail, he's not going to manage to hold on to that millions of dollars.
Kwame Kilpatrick got a pardon and Joe Exotic didn't. That's fucking saying something. Don't you remember, too? Joe Exotic was all, he was presumptuous. He had like a limo that was coming to the prison to get him. Like, he thought he was it. He thought he was getting out. But somebody smart looked at his rap sheet and probably went, no, don't let this fucking guy out of jail. Because everything you just said. Like, this guy will be back in jail, you let him out. Be a waste of a pardon. Look, I'm sure Kwame's going to be back. Do you see? He's a preacher now.
Well, yeah, Kwame's got the religious grift going on now. So, I don't know. I'm not saying that it's impossible for quote unquote man of God to be convicted of a crime, but it does give you a healthier shield to protect yourself with and a built in community to help you defend yourself.
Jim Baker, Jimmy Swaggart.
Yeah, it can happen. It can happen. But, you know, I don't know.
I'm sure one day that fucking, what's his name? Joel Osteen. I'm sure that guy's going to end up in fucking prison.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If Kwame starts bringing in, like, so far he guessed it at somebody else's church, right? But if we're talking like he's going full on opening up his own church, then I'm sure at a certain point he's going to pop up on the IRS's radar. Right.
Oh, I figure it's a matter of time.
Or for that matter, he probably has an IRS flag. Like, if this guy starts any business at all, let me know.
Right.
If this guy's selling hot dogs on the fucking corner, I want to know.
Yeah, somebody gets an alert whenever his social security number is near any cash.
So what else weed-related in the news? There's a lot of talk about the packaging lately, because I'm sure you've seen the stories about the Florida, the unfortunate girl who got into her mother's edibles. And, you know, proper shame on the mother for not locking your shit up, putting it where fucking... I mean, you can't keep shit away from a six-year-old. Come on, man.
See, I didn't read it. I just saw the headline. And yeah, that's all I had was, like, I'm not reading that because it's going to be lock your shit up. It's going to be, yeah. I'm a dumbass who left my shit where my kid could get it.
It can be both, though, right? I'm for both. I'm for this mother is not very good at her job, and also, they show a picture of the edibles that she bought, and it says Hawaiian Punch on them, and I mean, it looks like any other bag of candy that you would get from the dollar store.
But I also liken this to, like, you knew what it was and you left it out. My sister, at her third birthday party, got hammered, according to my parents, because she went around and drank everybody's drinks, right? And it wasn't like people did it on purpose, but it was left out, and she was just a kid going around, oh, hey, look, a drink. I'm drinking this. Oh, hey, look, a drink. Like, it technically was on the adults to make sure, you know, hey, let's keep it out of a reach of a three-year-old. And that's what I'm saying here. Like, yes, it looks like something that you would give your kid. Keep it out of the reach of your kid.
Yes, and you can not package your product that is meant for adults 18 and over to look like something that is appealing to kids. Like, you can do both.
What's that? We're getting into Joe Camel territory now here, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, I think she's not the greatest mother. And look, people make mistakes. I'm not saying, like, oh, she's horrible. Like, she fucked up. And I think she understands that, too. What was my other point?
Florida mom. Mother to Florida Man. Well, I think the point of a few stories I saw was that it's time to, as recreational and medical marijuana, just as the reach expands more and more, it's time to let's get some packaging regulations going.
Yeah,
like on a broader scale.
Yeah, and it's not going to solve the issue, but it helps, right? Now, if these were in just a generic baggie, would her daughter have been drawn to them? Probably so, because they probably still look like candy. Oh, that's the other point that I wanted to make. Every story is talking about how, you know, there's this push for packaging reform on cannabis edibles due to a 6-year-old ODing on cannabis.
Wait,
and I'm like,
wait.
A, you can't OD on cannabis, and B, I think if technically any amount of cannabis for a 6-year-old would be an overdose, because there's no correct dosage of cannabis for a 6-year-old unless they actually have something that they're prescribed, you know. I mean, there's certainly 6-year-olds out there who have, unfortunately, like seizures and stuff like that, who take cannabis in some form. But yeah, this ODing on cannabis.
What if she had an awesome time and ate a bunch of cereal and ice cream?
Well, she didn't.
Do we hear that part of the story?
No, she felt weird and ill, and she went to the hospital.
Watch cartoons for 9 hours? No,
she decidedly did not have a good time.
She's all right now, right?
Ran inside and calmly picked her up and moved her from the ground to the couch. She couldn't open her eyes. She was completely non-responsive, and when I laid her down, she kind of braced herself like she felt like she was falling. Was she non-responsive or not? She was completely non-responsive, and then she braced herself.
Non-responsive means you're passed out, at least in my book.
Yeah.
Means she was just zoned out. That's what I'm saying. She should put on the cartoons and see what happened.
Oh, it was somebody else's. That was not her stash that they got into.
Who's the idiot leaving out all the edibles then?
She advocates for the legalization of marijuana, so she's contacted local politicians, even Ron DeSantis, saying THC is medication, in all caps, and needs to be packaged as such, period. No, it's not period. No, it's actually ellipses. And then it's also other things, like recreational things that, you know, adults should just be able to enjoy. We have liquor. We've managed to figure out ways to keep the kids from getting liquor for the most part. We're not going to stop it completely, but we don't put Grimace on the packaging. You know, we don't fucking put a cartoon dog on the bottle of vodka.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Like, yeah, you know, you never see, like, the Looney Tunes characters on cans of beer.
Yeah. So, no, it's not medication, and it doesn't need to be packaged like it's a medication. Now, that being said, put a big fucking skull and crossbones on it, right? Everybody understands that. And it's not like you think that's going to hurt your product if you put a big skull and crossbones on it. Most pot smokers think it looks cool. And they're not going to be like, well, wait a minute. Is this stuff supposed to be poisonous? It's just, I mean, that would be a clear indicator to any kid that you're not supposed to be eating this. Doesn't mean that they're not going to eat it. But at least they won't do so unknowingly, thinking that they just have a batch of Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah, because then you don't regularly. You got to do something, though, because the next stop could be they tell you what you can and can't make.
Yeah. Yeah, cannabis industry, if you don't start regulating yourself, the government's going to come in and do it, and you're not going to like the way that they do it. So maybe you should get your shit together, get some kind of, you know, panel of experts that can review this shit or something.
I'm sure there will be in time.
Well, I don't know, because I think if legalization went full national all at the same time, you probably could have some an effective, you know, representative body for your industry that could do some self-regulation in this case. But with everything being segregated by state, you know, there's not as much.
That's what I said in time, because as I say, like, you got to worry about getting the rest of the country legal first.
Well, by that time, the government would have stepped in. Like, the time is now to self-regulate, so there is no time. So I don't think there's a situation where effective self-regulation could happen. The government will step in eventually. You know, the legalization isn't going to spread fast enough for them to control this in any way. Okay, so Connecticut's taking another crack at recreational marijuana. And it's starting with actually tomorrow as of recording this, on the 16th. So maybe they will have come to a decision by the time this is released. But their intention is to pass a recreational marijuana bill. Something that they made a crack at before and the Republicans filibustered. But now with New York and New Jersey, what choice does Connecticut have?
Yeah, well, they also border Rhode Island and Massachusetts.
Yep. And Rhode Island's another one. They have, it's not looking as promising that they're going to get it done in this legislative session, but they are saying that before the year's out, Rhode Island is likely to have a cannabis law as well, recreational cannabis law.
Yeah, Connecticut borders New York, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island. So yeah, if Rhode Island goes, Rhode Island would complete the whole you're surrounded. Like if I lived in Connecticut, well, now if you live in Connecticut, it's like, well, I can just go to Massachusetts.
Yep. So you can either regulate it and tax it, or you can deal with everybody else's cannabis.
Yeah.
It's going to be coming in from all sides. You'll be besieged. And apparently New York is going to be the location for one of many of Bob Marley's sons starting his own cannabis company. Rohan Marley. You ever heard of that, Marley?
I have not.
How many kids does Bob Marley have?
Well, at this point, we could be starting getting into like Ziggy's kids. Is this one of Bob Marley's kids?
He has. Well, according to Wikipedia, yeah, he's up there. Jamaican entrepreneur and former football player. I think they mean in the international sense, not in the American.
Yes.
Son of reggae artist Bob Marley and Janet Hunt. But yeah, Bob Marley has 11 kids.
Hey, that's not Rita Marley.
I don't know.
Bob liked to fuck. Mean, it didn't matter if it was his wife or not.
That he did. So I'm sure there's probably people out there that are just like, yeah, I'm Bob Marley's kid. And I'm starting my own headphone line.
Yeah. That you can buy at my dispensary. There's got to be Marley cannabis by now, right?
I would imagine so.
The first Marley kid. I mean,
I don't know. There's been like licensed products, but I don't know that any of Marley's kids have control over his image or rights to it or anything like that.
Recreational weed's been a thing in this country for 7 years now. Like, as far as actual places open to buy it. Like, if Willie's got his own weed, there's got to be Google Marley Cannabis. Marley Natural.
Let's see. About us. Do you have that?
At the bottom it says, we are proud to be the official Bob Marley Cannabis brand.
Yeah, so this was a deal like, Bob Marley's image is still a fucking everywhere. It's like Jimi Hendrix. You know, there's a... I'm sure there's an estate that money gets paid out to, but there's, you know, probably a board of people with controlling interests that decide, you know, are we going to put Bob Marley's image on a t-shirt to sell at Walmart? They say, absolutely we are, because we'll put his image on anything.
According to Wikipedia, a private equity firm, Privateer Holdings.
That's who owns the rights to the image?
That is
the
who,
Bob Marley image and name?
That is who started Marley Natural. It says its founder, Bob Marley, posthumously. And none of these people who are the founders of Privateer Holdings are named Marley.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not like his family is really is controlling any of that. It's like Bob Marley is a business. Here's an opinion piece that somebody wrote in response to an article that appeared in the Chicago Sun-Times. Let's see. So this is a letter to the editor from Gerald King from Marionette Park. He says, Tom Shuba wrote a nice news report in Tuesday's paper about legal and illegal weed, but it did not address one very large and real consideration. I think you mean concern, but go on. When legal weed is purchased and taxes are paid, customers know what they are getting. M-dash. And they can depend on getting the same product along with dependable advice about the product the next time they go back to the store. Yeah, it's a very good point. And I agree with you, Gerald King of Marionette Park. Although he then goes on to say, but when weed is purchased illegally from, in Chuba's description, a, quote, dealer operating in Chicago, there are at least two nefarious issues. Sorry, strap in, kids. This is what's really happening out there on the black market. Number one, there is no quality control for the, quote, dork. Dealer, the dealer's word. So, I don't know if you know this, people, but all your anyone you've bought weed from, they refer to you as a dork behind your back. So, they're not your friend. So, he says, what? There's no quality control for the, quote, dork, the dealer's word, who is getting ripped off price-wise. Chances are they're going to the black market because they're getting ripped off on the other side. So, your number one point makes absolutely no sense. It's the better prices that keeps the black market alive. Second point, he says, number two, and how many times has a dealer told a customer that he's out of weed, but just happens to have some really nice cocaine available at an amazing discount for first timers?
Fucking happened to me ever.
Never in my fucking life. Several months later, that cocaine supply might, quote-unquote, dry up. But then the dealer would, quote, just happen, unquote, to have some nice heroin.
Who the fuck is this person?
This person.
Are they from the 80s?
They've never bought drugs.
Yeah, ever. Ever. They don't know these are all separate guys.
Ever.
There's a heroin guy, there's a coke guy, yes. There's a weed guy.
These are not the same people.
Correct. Wow. Yeah, this is like somebody from the 1980s wrote this.
Yeah.
Nancy Reagan wrote this.
How many times? Like this is something that's happened to him a lot? Oh, but people, how many times? Am I right? You all know this. You go to get a dime bag. You know, and the guy says, no, I'm all out, but I've got something you can stick up your nose that'll make you really speedy. Is that kind of like what you're looking for?
Instead of weed, I have crack. Would you like some crack? No, I called you for weed. I'm calling somebody else. I want weed.
Right.
And I would never call this person again.
How many times have you ordered a prostitute to your house and a dude shows up and he's like, well, that's all I got. So do you want me to fuck you in the ass or should I just leave? I mean, the first one's free.
Yeah.
And then you're gay. That's how it happens, people. And then you start being gay and they're like, we're all out of assholes. So now we got to get into bestiality. I've got this dog here that you can have.
And then one day they don't have a dog slope, people, and they're like, listen, right? I got a donkey and a trailer.
That's right. That's how they get you. That's how they rope you in. Because selling weed is not a good enough grift, right? You're selling weed on the black market, and you're like, man, I just can't make any money. I can't move this product. Man,
nobody, I can't get anybody to buy this weed, man.
People don't want... How come nobody wants weed? I guess I gotta sell coke. That's my only option.
Wow. It still blows my mind there's people out there who think like this.
Yeah. Look, good and successful weed dealers don't get into other shit because they don't need to. And you know what cocaine dealers do? Cocaine. That's why they deal it.
Yeah.
You know what heroin dealers do? Fucking heroin. That's why they deal it.
Generally.
And they ain't giving you none for free. They want your money.
I've never had that shit. The closest I've gotten to getting free weed is somebody burning a joint while I'm buying weed off of them.
Yes. Yeah, you want to hang out and burn one?
Yeah, the first time I've ever bought weed from anybody, I've never gotten any free.
Yeah. You got your punch card?
Even the first time I ever bought weed, guess what? I didn't get any for free.
Yeah.
Like, is this person source 1980s drug commercials?
Yeah. Look, I've After seen...
After school specials?
I've seen every Chuck Norris movie. And every...
I've seen Walker, Texas Ranger all 9 seasons. Yes.
I've seen the entire... Oh, Charles Bronson. That would be a good one. Every Charles Bronson movie. He was beating up a lot of drug dealers back in the day, right?
Yeah, I think so. Wow, I thought I was exaggerating. Walker, Texas Ranger was on for 9 seasons. Holy shit.
Nice.
Holy shit. That show was on for 9 seasons?
Yeah, it did.
Why? I was going to say where, but it was on CBS. But really? It pulled down enough ratings to be on for 9 fucking years? Wow.
People love Chuck. I don't know what to tell you.
It was on the air for as long as The Office was on the air.
Yeah, I mean, people think that, like, you make money in entertainment by being on, like, super high-profile TV shows. And that can happen, you know. But, you know, look at what if Friends did. If Friends didn't manage to negotiate, they didn't negotiate for, like, damn near $1 million an episode by the end of it.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be as well off as they are because most of those people ain't working anymore because that's all people know them as. His Friends. Somebody like Chuck Norris knows, like, I don't need to be that. Like, you want to go just under the radar and hit those really loyal audiences, not the ones that are chasing fads and want to see, like, what the new hot television show is. Somebody who wants reliable programmer, like, hey, folks, it's me again. I'm going to solve this one by the end of this hour. Don't you even worry about it.
Yeah, no, the key to making money in TV at least used to be longevity. When Chuck was on, like, yeah, just be on a... Like, dude, how loaded do all of the Simpsons voices have to be?
Yeah.
Like, does Harry Shearer have solid gold everything in his house?
I would say set for life, but I think they're all going to die while the show's still in production.
Yeah. Their families will be set for life.
They're going to fucking keel over in the booth, man.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to die sucking on an RE20.
Right.
Wait, my voice is threatening to die on me. Am I sounding raspier?
No, you sound...
I sound all right?
Yeah, you sound normal over here.
It sounds weird in my head. I think I'm just getting congested.
We got any more weed news?
That's it.
That's it? Well, cool. Well, then
we're out.
Keep your voice. You can rest that voice then. Find us on social media. Like us on Facebook, please. And thank you. We are on Twitter at TheWeedsman420. On Instagram at TheWeedsmanPodcast. Go to ChristopherMedia.net. Click the Amazon banner or the PayPal banner. Did I say banner? I thought I said panner. Either way, click either one of those if you'd like to help us out. And then wherever you listen to us, which could now be YouTube, that is now on the list of. Huge list where you can listen to us. Anywhere you listen to a podcast, rate us, review us. That's how you help other people find it. We would appreciate that. And stay high.
Stay high.
The Weedsman Podcast. ChristopherMedia.net.